Welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Noyce, and this is the podcast for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. On this episode of the podcast, the third of a trilogy around the appointment of a new Prime Minister, I'm joined by James Lohman and Ed Woodall to talk about the new Prime Minister Boris Johnson's plans for the country, the MPs that he's appointed to his cabinet, and what we're calling for him to do straight away to help retailers. Now, we'll get into the detail of some of who's doing what in a moment, but first of all, what's your impression overall of how Boris Johnson has put his cabinet together?
It feels, firstly, to me, obviously Brexit is the preeminent issue of the day, and it feels very clearly driven towards Brexit, and specifically towards members of the cabinet who will support a strategy of going with no deal, leaving the EU with no deal, if that's how things play out. And it feels to me, therefore, quite short term. You know, it feels like this is focused on the next 4 months. 3 months. What's the date today? Yeah, three months before we get to end of October. So that's the real focus on that. In that time, we'd like to have a budget. We'd like to have party conferences. So it's built around those set pieces, the biggest of which being 31st of October.
Yeah, I agree. So this is a cabinet that is built around delivering Brexit. And I thought going into this, there would be a sense of uniting the party, which was part of his campaign mantra, but it doesn't seem to have translated in that way. It is about all about Brexit, all about positioning this as a government that's really serious about delivering it.
And I think that's the key thing, isn't it? It's about positioning. It's about saying to the EU, actually, we're serious about this now, and assuming a no-deal position seems to be what this government's looking at the moment. Yeah. So overall, then, looking at cabinets focused on preparing for, or at least given the impression that they are preparing for us to leave without a deal at the end of October. So let's look at some of the individuals now. First up, Sajid Javid as new Chancellor. What would you expect from the first budget from Team Saj?
So I think this is quite consistent with recent budgets anyway, but given it is driven around this very short period of time, I think we might see some immediate giveaways. And of course, this short period of time might include leading up to an election. So I think we'll see some short-term giveaways, but probably not much in terms of long-term solutions to some of these challenges. So the most obvious thing from our point of view would be business rates.
Yeah.
Where in the run-up to every budget, we talk about business rates. And what we've seen in recent budgets has been some very significant short-term reliefs given to retailers. We want to see those extended and more certainty given for a longer period of time. But we've also been saying, look, we need to find a way of developing a better business rate system for the future. I don't have great hopes that this budget will deliver any of that, to be honest. So I think it's going to be much more about those sort of short-term giveaways and, of course, a lot about no-deal planning. So there may be some funding made available, there already has been, but there's more funding made available for no-deal planning, which, as you say, is about sending a message that we are committed to this, we are ready for this, we're going to make sure we're ready to leave on 31st of October.
And it does seem like there's been a bit of an sort of open season on the Chancellor being able to just open his chequebook and give things away, perhaps to distract from the impact of no deal, or even to mitigate some of those impacts when it comes to the end of October.
Yes, indeed. I mean, it's definitely a loosening of the purse strings and a very different approach from what Philip Hammond was saying around Brexit and the contribution he'd give there. But nonetheless, I think there'll be some consistency in the messaging in terms of, I'm sure Sajid Javid will talk up a deal dividend from getting something out of Brexit, as Philip Hammond did before, and also making clear to an electorate that it's probably coming an end to an austerity to a certain extent.
Because we heard about the official end to austerity, but then nothing really changed. So yeah. This seems like this is a real step change in government thinking.
Yeah, but yeah, and a big part of the Prime Minister's commitments are around more money for policing, more money for education, more money for infrastructure, and that of course requires the Treasury to deliver on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I suppose the debate that people are having is how much headroom does the government have to fund all those different things, of which some say it's 25 billion, some say they can borrow more. It really depends on your interpretation of those figures, but I can assume there will be more money and there'll be more offers short term.
And of course the big question is, how sustainable is that? Because if you to take the example of policing, if you're recruiting 20,000 more police officers, you need 20,000 more lockers and you need to pay them every year. So looking into the future, into the long term, perhaps that'll cause problems down the line.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big commitment. 20,000 police officers is a big commitment. It's over a three-year period, so they do have some means in which to spread that out, but it is incredibly costly and operationally difficult to deliver as well, because you've got to train them you've got to make sure everyone's qualified to take on those positions.
Logistics, especially as lots of police stations have been closing as well.
Yeah.
Where do you put them?
And there are still other departments, and there's still new secretaries of states and all those different departments that want to deliver things in that new brief as well. So, you know, the Ministry for Housing and Communities and Local Government will still want their £675 million for the high street, etc., etc., across all different departments. So there's still going to be a balance between what they can actually deliver.
Absolutely. And so picking up on policing then, next to bring out is someone who we've worked with in the past as chair of All Party Small Shops Group, and more recently in All Party Group meetings on crime, had a lot of views on policing. That's the new Home Secretary, Priti Patel. What do you see her bringing to the role, especially on things like police priorities and dealing with offenders?
So, yeah, I mean, Priti's worked with us on some of the work we did around the Centre for Social Justice report, around particularly around sentencing of offenders and how you deal with the cycle of offending. And that's one of the key things for us in terms of crimes like shop theft, about how the current system isn't working, how the current out of court disposal system isn't working. So I think we can think positively that the Home Secretary is engaged on this and probably be able to move quicker to some recommendations around how you might deliver that.
And just quickly, out of court disposals then, for those that aren't aware of it, who are on the right side of the law and haven't had to deal with people as part of that system, what does that mean?
So it's non-custodial interventions for individuals, so a fine or a conditional caution or just a caution for what would be considered lower level offences that could be dealt with by police officers at the time or very close afterwards, or being elevated to court by a letter in some way, which has actually often been the frustration for retailers, because they see the same people coming into stores offending issued with a fine or a caution, but actually it doesn't break that cycle of offending. It doesn't actually help the individual who's probably got some kind of social issues or often drug related issues that they need the support for.
And we'll come on to that in a minute with some other recommendations as well, but I just want to touch on a few more of the people in departments that we deal with a lot. We've got Berko's best friend Andrea Leadsom in Bays, which is a Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy. We've got Matt Hancock staying at Health, Theresa Villiers taking over from Gove as Environment Secretary, and the first Cabinet Minister to be born in the 1980s, Robert Jenrick, now Housing, Communities and Local Government Secretary. Do any of these appointments stand out as particularly challenging or helpful for convenience stores, given that we deal with these departments a lot, when it comes to what we expect to be on their agenda?
So Andrea Leadsom at Bays is very important. So in terms of day-to-day, our home department, if you like, is the Department for Business. So we deal with them all the time on the issues that they're raising and that are going, legislation that they're taking through and responsibilities they have, but also across government. We often talk to the Department for Business about the impact of proposals and legislation on our members. So I think Andrea Leadsom is going to be a key figure. And I suppose the key thing is whether she takes forward and progresses the industrial strategy, which is very much a Theresa May thing. This is one of the big policy changes that came in 2016 when she took office. This what seemed by some as a slightly old-fashioned idea of having industrial strategies across government. That's really important. You know, that's the strategy that would include, you know, policies about what's the right tax approach to take, what's the right approach to trying to promote investment, what's employment and skills look like in a sector. And so, you know, that's really important to us. I think some of the other ones, actually, some of the junior appointments and maybe some of the people who stayed are actually things I would pick out. Yeah. Kelly Tolhurst remains Small Business Minister, also looking after post offices and the retail sector specifically, chairs the Retail Sector Council, which I sit on. But also Therese Coffey, having promotion now to Minister of State at Department for Environment, and certainly on questions like deposit return schemes and plastics. She's a thoughtful and coherent voice on those issues in our mind. You know, she thinks very clearly about those sorts of issues and thinks about the balance of how do we come up with the most meaningful policies that are going to really make a difference to these challenges. So I personally was very pleased to see Therese Coffey stay in DEFRA and actually get a promotion to Minister of State. And hopefully that will include maintaining those responsibilities around some deposit return schemes and other areas that are really important to us.
Sure. Ed, anything that stands out to you?
Matt Hancock at the Department for Health obviously covers some really key issues around the obesity strategy, which we saw some new measures come out, which was about the ban of energy drinks to under 16s.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see how that strategy then goes forward under this new administration, and which areas they come to a conclusion they should introduce. So I think that'll be a great key area to that.
And I should also just pick up on James's point about Kelly Tolhurst. We're especially pleased to see her staying in the role of Small Business Minister, not least because she'll be appearing at Heart of the Community reception on October 15th. Places are still available for that, so book online at acs.org.uk. It is a free event, but due to the nature of these parliamentary receptions, they are reasonably limited in terms of spaces, so make sure you get yours now. Right, one last thing on government appointments, and probably the most important question that needs answering. Double spacing after full stops, yes or no? I know, Ed, you're a big fan of this.
I'm a yes. Much to the frustration of my colleagues, often, but I'm a yes.
Yeah. James, yes, no?
Yeah, I always have, but I'm from a different era. You know, working on my Amstrad at university, that's where I learned.
See, I've never... The first time I saw it was here, and I thought there was a problem with the space bar. Yeah, so... Okay, good.
It's never been on my radar at all as an issue until now. So thank you, Jacob Rees-Mogg, for promoting these very constructive debates for the ACS. Great. Really enjoyed it.
Right. Aside from no-deal preparation, the pledges that Boris Johnson talks about in his campaign, thing like fibre broadband, putting more police on the streets, this new government's likely to be keen to make its mark with a new domestic policy agenda, as we've discussed. We know, however, for most proposals, especially those that require a change in the law or new legislation altogether, and getting things done takes a long time. With that in mind, we've written to the new Prime Minister asking for four things that actually can be done straight away without all the process and red tape and debates and things that will make a big difference to local shops. So, Ed, take us through what we're calling for and why it's important.
Yeah, so there's these four things. So first of all, we're looking around ATMs, which again was part of the new Prime Minister's campaign, which was looking at people's access to cash. One of the key things here has been cuts to interchange fees, and we really want the payment systems regulator to look at the impact that those cuts have had on the ability of people to access their cash from cash machine for free, and the impact it had on the network and the network hosted by convenience retailers as well. So that's one on the list. Again, picking up on the crime issues, out of court disposals, and looking how those are used and how they can be reformed to better break this cycle of offending is one for the Home Secretary to look at.
Yeah.
And of course, the one that probably cuts across most departments is around business rates, an extension of the small business rates relief.
Yeah, so this one-third discount.
One-third discount for businesses with a rate of value under £51,000. We'd like to see extended further so that people have more certainty about the investment, so they can make the cost of their bills in the long term, and with an eye on what are the longer term reforms to the business rate system that we need. But in terms of short term interventions, it's looking at those reliefs now.
Yeah.
And then also these regulations from the Department for Health around the state regulation of store layouts and where you can put high fat salt sugar products in store, which of course would be extremely costly for retailers and quite a worrying development. So we want those reviewed and looked at again.
Yeah, and it really struck me actually. I was filming last week ahead of some stuff for our local shop report launch, filming with Amit, who's talking about some investment in his store. And one of the things he's doing is putting a brand new till area in, which the front of which is being designed for, in some places, confectionery. That's a big investment that he's making. If legislation is requiring him to change that, that's going to cost a lot of money twice, not just cancelling one. You know, it is real practical implications that are going to cost retailers a lot of money.
Yeah, there's plenty of stores that if you take away the aisle ends, you take away the entrances, you take away the checkout, there's not much store left.
Sure.
So, yeah. These are, you know, really impractical measures, and they need to be. We can't be seeing these implemented.
Yeah, absolutely. So, finally, then we have to consider the possibility of an election coming soon. From what we've heard, it appears the first possible date for an election is October 24th, given all the wrangling, and that's without 2/3 of MPs voting for dissolution of Parliament. It's reasonably technical, where there are all sorts of days that you have to wait for different things to go through. How likely do you think it is that we'll get an election before the end of the year, and what impact do you think that's going to have?
Yeah, so the real question is, and that'd be the next Thursday, be 31st of October, which is another important deadline. It seems to me that...
Can you imagine an election on deadline day for...
think about the maddest, most disruptive thing, and that's probably what's going to happen.
How many constituencies can get in before midnight?
Yeah, absolutely. and what happens after midnight, we'll never know. I think, thinking of Boris Johnson's position, the Conservative Party's position, what are they going to the country saying and asking? Are they going to the country saying, we are all in favour of Brexit, we've been blocked by Parliament? Now, there's a lot of technical issues about to what extent Parliament can actually block the UK leaving with no deal. But you can imagine one scenario where they go in. They're not going to know that, though, until nearer to the 31st of October deadline. And therefore, by the time they've called an election, it'll be after then. And calling an election before we've left the EU, whether with a deal or not, it seems to be very, very risky for the Conservatives, because then the Brexit Party will simply say, look, Boris Johnson, all through the election, they'll show the 700 times he said during the election campaign, leadership election campaign, we will leave on 31st of October, come what may, and say, look, we're still in. And so it'd be very hard at that point to neutralise the Brexit Party, which is, among a number of things, is probably the Conservatives' main electoral concern.
Yeah, and then you've got to assume that the Brexit Party would run on a ticket of saying we will leave day one.
Day one, yeah, exactly. Or does he manage to do that in such a way as, if Parliament's blocked him, or blocked the UK leaving and blocked the government's policy on that, then that's maybe a slightly easier sell to say, well, look, Parliament's blocked us, we need a new Parliament. You see what we want to do. We wanted to go no deal, Parliament blocked us, so we need a new Parliament, so, and then we'll go no deal because we've said that's what we're going to do. So that may be a slightly more credible. But I think that, so I'd say in the office, as you know, I've been saying very, very early election. That's been my prediction. I think that's probably not the most likely. I think the most likely will be a bit after that. Generally, governments don't like winter elections in terms of turnout and so on. Mid-winter elections, October, traditionally October is the latest they tend to go. Someone will find some historical example where we went in, you know, and later than that. But generally, October is the latest to go. And then we generally don't like sort of January, February elections. So therefore, we might be talking next spring. But what's the context for that? We've left with no deal. Has that been seen successful or otherwise? And if we do leave with no deal, everyone had their own view of it. But if that's seen as a relative success, then that might be a good basis for which Conservatives wouldn't want to call an election. If that's seen as relatively unsuccessful, then that would be a very, if people feel that they've been affected by that badly, then that would be a very difficult basis to go into an election.
It's funny, isn't it? Retailers always talk about the weather having a massive impact on sales. It's a pretty big impact on elections as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the referendum itself, it was a rainy day, wasn't it? 23rd of June,
yeah.
2016. I'm not saying there'd have been that much of a swing if it'd been sunny weather, but I think it definitely was the weather that the Leave campaign would have wanted.
Are you saying millennials don't like rain? Is that what we're saying?
Definitely not saying that, because I already feel old enough today.
Ed, election, end of the year.
I think that all the indicators coming from government suggest they think there'll be an election before the end of the year. And that's probably reflected in the things that Boris Johnson was raising in his speech outside Parliament and the things he was hitting on. Infrastructure in the context of levelling up between London and the regions, you know, touring around to Scotland, to Wales and Northern Ireland. You know, it feels like he's on a campaign trail already, talking about policing, which he knows is polls well with people, talking about education, talking about fixing social care. These are all issues that sound like you're on the footing for a campaign trail. So I think it's quite likely. I wouldn't like to put a date on it, given all the technicalities around it, but I generally agree.
But of course, and they, in terms of timing, they have conference season to essentially turn into sort of rally season, isn't it?
Yeah, potentially.
Okay, well, as you can see, we still don't know. And I don't think anyone really does at this stage, but you know, we'll have the summer to hopefully work it out. That's pretty much everything for this episode, apart from to say for the retailers listening, summer actually is a great time to get your MP into your store and show them firsthand how regulation and things like business rates, employment costs and crime are affecting your business. We can help with arranging store visits. Just email steve.dowling@acs.org.uk or check on the website for details for more information, and we can help that for you. Until then, we will catch up next time.